Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, the original K-State sports show. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Hey guys, welcome in here to the Power Cat Podcast. I am Ryan Gilbert out here in Frisco for Big 12 Media Days. He is Brian Big B Hanley, and we kind of just got wrapped up over at the Star. Our John Grove is standing by for Media Days still. We'll bring him in here later in the podcast, but for now, you're stuck with me and Big B. Kansas State on Tuesday didn't go, so probably a lighter day for us, but on Wednesday, it'll be a lot of stuff coming your way right here on Go Power Cat, as you'll hear from Colin Klein, Avery Johnson. A bunch of stuff is coming your way, so be sure to lock in. But in the meantime, Big B, on Tuesday, you know, I really don't want to do this. I don't want to talk about Texas Tech, but when that was without a doubt the most, I don't know if entertaining is the right word, most noteworthy thing that came from Tuesday, I think we have to start there. And, you know, there was a question Adam K63 wants to know, did Brett Yormark make the right decision by just dodging those questions about Brendan Sorsby?
I think he did, actually. I don't think today was the time and place to discuss all of that. Number one, as a conference, it's time to move on, you know. And I know Tech fans are still asking about, you know, the lawsuit and all that kind of stuff. First off, if you thought that he was going to answer any of those questions and with current litigation going on anyway, you're crazy, because he wasn't going to do that. And again, today is more about celebrating the conference and kicking off the season. It's not a day to be dwelling, talking about Brendan Sorsby and why he couldn't stop gambling and why Tech made a fool of themselves by defending him. Today just wasn't that day. There's other times. If there even is a time, Gills, I think it's time to move on. Tech fans don't want to move on. They keep asking stupid questions. They were whining today about some tortillas and all this other kind of stuff. I'm just like, it's time to move on. But Brett Yormark was right.
Some new faces in the Big 12. Oklahoma State was up there today. I have to go back, and I'm not as dialed in as I should have been up with the podium. But, you know, this is the first, I guess, taste for some of these new coaches. And, you know, Kansas State's going to be, obviously, with Colin Klein, a new coach, but – you know, this league is, I think there's four, right? Four new coaches this year?
Yep, four.
So this is your start.
Yeah, Eric Morris from Oklahoma State. Oh my gosh, I can't even remember. Eric Morris, Oklahoma State. Who else is new out there?
I'm going to say I don't feel as bad as I should, because Big B, you're the Big 12 guy. I'm just a K-State guy, so this is what you're supposed to have locked down, not me. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no. There's four new coaches out there. Iowa State got a new coach as well. That's one that I'm just like, I don't know, man. And no. I feel bad for Iowa State fans. I know as K-State fans, we really don't give a damn. But as Iowa State fans, I'm just not sure about that roster and how good they're going to be. Yuck.
Big B, you played for Bill Snyder, and obviously his what was able to get out to the media, there wasn't a whole lot. It was pretty tight-lipped and maybe not a whole lot of praising for guys. I'm sure for a player like, you know, Brian Hanley, number 73, right? I'm sure there was a lot of good words coming out of his mouth, but overall it was pretty tight-lipped.
And yeah.
Chris Kleiman was definitely more of a player's coach and hyping up his guys. Colin Klein on Wednesday, are we going to get a lot out of this guy, or is he just going to take after what he learned from Bill Snyder?
I think there's going to be a good mixture. You know, he's not, obviously he's not going to give up game plans and stuff like that, but I think he's a guy that realizes that today's day and age, players are different, and you can't coach and the guys the same way. You know, they like praise. I mean, not that people didn't like praise back then, But it's a big thing when you have other coaches all around the country and coaching staffs that are pretty open about that and giving, not just giving access, not necessarily giving, you know, a ton of praise, but access. I think you're going to see a little bit of both, like not going to give away any trade secrets, but you got to be able to talk about your program a little bit, talk about it more, open up about it more, because look, and to, like I mentioned before, things are different, you know, a lot of money involved. What are you, I mean, and if you're trying to fundraise and get money for NIL or whatever the case may be, do you think people are going to be more inclined to give money to NIL when they don't know about the program, or are they going to be more inclined to give money if they know more about the program? You know, winning obviously cures a lot, but hey man, if I want to give some money to something, yeah, I want to know what's going on. And so I think there's a happy medium that I think Coach Klein is going to have.
I hopped on with Dan Lucero out of Topeka Radio, and we kind of just talked about the first three games really for Kansas State. You go back to last season, the way that 2025 started. I mean, just from the first punt out in Dublin, I think the season was just downhill ever since that moment. But
yeah,
there's no excuse not to go 3-0 to start off the non-conference, Big B. But probably more importantly, there's really no excuse not to go 6-0. And that first half of the season is very manageable. Now, the second half gets a little tougher. You're on the road a little bit more. But to start off that first half of the season, that's really where Kansas State is going to set the tone for, all right, are you going to be competing for a Big 12 title or not?
Yeah, I mean, you sit and you look at the schedule, and I think it's one of those situations where K-State, look, the game against Houston is going to be tough. Houston is, they have got a really good football team, you know, and there you've got an even better coach. So to just, that 6-0 is very possible, don't get me wrong, but that's going to be a tough one. I mean, I know on the road at Cincinnati, some people think, oh, you don't want to make any mistakes. Cincinnati's not going to be a good football team. And so I don't expect K-State. Look, winning on the road is always tough, Gills. I don't care who you are, how bad a team is. It's the Big 12 Conference. You're winning on the road. The game against Houston is the one in the first six that I would think, okay, it's not a make or break game, but it can tell you a lot about who your football team is. You know, I don't want to say that the season's over if you don't win it, but at the same time, it'll let you know, because Houston's going to come in with some big, physical, strong, athletic guys. They're going to have some athletic skill guys. They're not going to beat themselves because they have outstanding coaching. So what are you going to do? Houston's also one of the favorites, although in most betting sites or whatever, they're right behind K-State, but Houston's got a good football team. But yeah, 6-0, if they were 5-1, I'd probably be disappointed. But I get it if that one is the Houston. But if not, yeah, they need to go 6-0, Gills. They need to.
Yeah, it best not be any of the non-conference teams.
Tulane or Washington State, then I'm going to be furious.
Yeah, that's your Chris Klieman clunker of the year.
Yes.
That needs to not happen under Colin Klein. Okay, you go on the road to Arizona State, you lose to Cincy at home, or excuse me, Houston at home. Maybe you go on the road and lose to Cincy, and that's the worst loss of your year. Okay. Yeah. But Tulane at home, Houston when it was a 4-win team, that's not that's what you can't have happening. But
yeah, I'm even going to go as far. You can't lose to Cincinnati on the road. I know it's going to be a tough game, but you can't lose to that football team. They're not going to be good. You know, I'm not saying that the game won't be tough. I'm not telling you that. But just because something is tough doesn't mean you shouldn't win. And I think sometimes we as fans, myself included, we get out of whack, you know, a little bit out of our minds when we talk about that. Oh, they're not any good, you know, or the game is going to be tough. Well, just because it's tough doesn't mean you shouldn't win. You know, the adversity is fine, but you need to overcome it.
Yeah, take that from the Big 12 expert himself. And I will say that the amount of people that came up to Big B just on Tuesday at Big 12 Media Days was I don't think you can count on one hand. You had a lot of people coming up to you, Big B. You're a famous guy.
I'm not famous. It was just my face. People love my face and my cologne. The people, they were attracted to my cologne, and they just said, what are you wearing, Big B? And I'm like, hey, man, it's just my skin.
It's just that Louis Vuitton imagination kicking in, leaving a nice scent bubble around you. A couple questions, Big B, from our subscribers at Neil Powercat that I want to get to. First one is from KSU95. What game will be the most difficult and which will be the easiest? I think you kind of just touched on Houston, and I understand that more often than not, your most difficult game is going to be on the road just because of the nature of playing away from the comforting confines of Bill Snyder Family Stadium. But when you look at, those Vegas odds are a really damn good indication of who's going to be good and who's, projected to be good, who's projected to be bad. But Houston is the toughest team on the docket for Kansas State. And obviously just because it's at home doesn't mean it's going to be a walk in the park. We were sitting up there when Willie Fritz was talking, like, that's a very, tenured, mature, been around the block head coach that knows how to win a lot of football games. And, Big B, as we know, he knows how to beat Kansas State as a head coach.
He does. For me, I there's a couple games on the schedule that I think are going to be the toughest games. Houston, obviously, is one of them. But two games that I think people shouldn't sleep on at all is at Arizona State and at TCU. TCU is going to have a top three roster, top three, top four roster in the country. Their problem is usually coaching. Coaching usually gets in the way, but if it doesn't get in the way, then that's a problem. But their roster is very, very good at TCU. Arizona State has built something. They've got something. My thing with them, if they can find quarterback play, they're going to be a problem for not just K-State, for everybody. So if Arizona can find that good quarterback play, they got a chance. If it's just mediocre, well, then okay. But I think outside of Houston, but I would say Arizona State and TCU are probably even tougher games, Gills, just because they're on the road.
Yeah.
Holds
a lot of weight.
Yeah. Houston's going to have the best roster. But look, man, you play in Manhattan, Kansas. It is what it is. And it's tough. It's a tough place to play. I know it's not the biggest stadium in all the world or in the Big 12, but just go there and play and then tell me how tough it is. Depending on what time that game is, show up and play when K-State, when it's rocking, tell me how easy it is to just go play at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. It's not. So, but the other two, like I said, on the road, because Arizona State, I think, again, for the second time in 3 years, Gills, is being slept on. They got a roster, man. They do. It's just, can they have quarterback play?
I think it's pretty clear. Nichols, with all due respect, is the easiest.
I would say that they're definitely the easiest. I didn't even bring it up because I was like, I guess. But I get why we play the game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sure how good Washington State's going to be, but Nichols will be the easiest by far.
Yeah, and even late in the year, Iowa State. I know that might be labeled as an easy game, but you look at Iowa State, who might have 2-3 wins by the time late November rolls around, and Kansas State could be fighting for a Big 12 title spot. Like, a Cyclone team up in the cold could have absolutely nothing to lose. And so certain games can be tricky. And just because right now in July, we think the schedule is going to be the way it is, it's not always the way that it seems.
Not just that. You try to predict the Big 12, good luck. 2 years ago, we thought that Oklahoma State and Utah were going to be in the Big 12 title game. They finished last and next to last in the conference. And the team that everybody picked to finish last ended up winning the thing. Yeah. So, and last year was kind of the same thing. So you just don't know. There's going to be a team, and it's going to be again this year, that nobody believes is going to be any good, and they're going to end up winning a lot of games in this conference. I'm not sure who that's going to be, but it'll be somebody. And then somebody who we think is going to be good isn't going to be as good. K-State was one of those last year. A lot of people thought K-State was going to be good, and 6-6, there we went. So it's, the Big 12 is just crazy.
Yeah, I remember being out in Provo with Fitz. K-State was playing BYU that day, and we were watching Oklahoma State, Utah. And it was a close game. I was like, wow, these are the two best teams in the conference going at it. I think that was the conference opener, if not the second game. And boy, the rest of the season told us how bad those two teams were. That was a toilet bowl.
Yeah.
It was all said and done in the Big 12. A couple more questions here. Like I said, John Grove is standing by out at the Star. But a couple more, Big B, from Mountain Dew Cat 74. who is a player on offense and defense you would like to see take a leap forward this year. And I think offense is pretty easy. Lincoln Cure, you know, you talk about living in physicality and being just more tough. Lincoln Cure is a player that should rise up with the tide with Colin Klein coming in here in Manhattan. I mean, year number one didn't go the way he had planned and the whole season, like Kansas State as a team, like you just mentioned, 6-6, it wasn't a good year. But for him, I mean, of course, Garrett Oakley's there, but Garrett Oakley and some of those wideouts you brought in, those guys can take some weight off your shoulders to hopefully, you know, give you some reliable touches.
Yeah, the thing about Lincoln Cure is, you know, 4 or 5 star, whatever you want to say, depending on the source. At some point, those guys can't be developmental guys. You know, Kansas State bringing these guys in, and you get these guys that are really high rated. They can't be. Now, last year, I get it. Injury derailed the season right at the very beginning. Who knows if he was even close to 100% by the end of the year? Mm-hmm. I don't think he was. I think he was probably 65 to 75% playing at the end of the year, which sucks as a freshman. Trust me, nobody wants to be hurt at any time, but you're getting your feet wet, a lot of expectations, and you can't go out there and do the things that you know that if healthy you can do. That's frustrating. But he fought through it. He ended up getting out on the field. They need to see a lot more of him. I think a lot of that last year was due to whatever the offense was, whatever you want to call it. I just think there were some limitations in the offense. I don't think we're going to see those same limitations this year. Lincoln Cure has got to be a big part of what they do. And just because we brought in a bunch of other weapons, which we did, and that's great, he needs to be one of those. You know, because here's the thing. You start getting a reputation, you bring in these high-profile guys, well, it takes 2 or 3 years for them to get on the field. You're not going to get any more of those guys. So those guys need to start being a factor immediately. That's what all the other the big-time programs, they don't bring in these 5-star guys and say, okay, you got to sit or just put your toe in the water for a year or two. Like, that's not how it works, man. Not to mention, guys won't stick around. You know, I'll be quite frank. I think we're lucky that Lincoln Cure stayed. I know he loves K-State and he wants to be a K-State guy, but after last year, and especially the way the transfer portal is, I think we're lucky to still have him. So we got to use him because I think he is an incredible weapon that K-State can use on the offensive side to just open so many more things up.
Especially with the new 5-for-5. I mean, yes. How many youngsters, I know Lincoln didn't redshirt, right? But how many youngsters are going to come in and say, I'm okay with not playing, right? Zero. I know that wasn't probably the plan with Lincoln, but the days of being a developmental program and developing guys, well, in this era, you want to get old and stay old. And yep. with that new 5-for-5 rule, it's going to be a lot easier to be an older team. But switching sides to defense, Big B, I don't want to take the easy way out here, but the two guys representing K-State at Media Days are Rex Van Wy and Wesley Fair. And with all due respect, those guys have not been difference makers at Kansas State. You know, they just haven't. And so for your head coach to come in here and, you know, pick 2 offense, 2 defense to represent his program, and you're the two guys, I think that maybe, you know, the question was, what was the phrasing on the question, Big B? It was take a leap forward this year, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you've got to be the next – all pro defensive back if you're Wesley Fair, anything like that, but take a leap forward and prove that you were selected by your head coach to represent your team for a reason.
Yeah, got to take a step forward. Got to get better. You know, we see that all the time. You know, look, I don't think that Colin Klein is bringing guys to Media Day that can't play, that he doesn't believe can play or can't play. I don't think he's going to do that. So I think they're probably expecting a lot from both of them. You're right. They haven't been difference makers, but they need to be difference makers. And I'll just say if they're not, then somebody else needs to do it, you know, because we can't be the team. And we got caught into this the last couple of years of just playing guys out of sheer loyalty. Well, damn it, you can't have this kind of loyalty to guys, especially when they're not going to have it to you when it's time to go somewhere else. You either get it done or put somebody else in that's going to get it done. So I have faith that both of those guys can be difference makers, but they got to do it. They got to earn it, and then they got to show it, because you earn it by getting on the field, and then you show it when you're on the field. If you don't do either one of those things, then they got to go a different direction. So I think him choosing those guys, maybe something in the spring, a lot happened during the spring that said, you know, these guys are big time difference makers, whatever the case may be. But now it's time, because now you're out in front of media day and people are going to expect you to be difference makers. Well, you've heard me say it a million times, Gills. College football is pressure. If you can't handle it, don't play. So now that everybody expects it from you, it's time to put up or shut up.
Colin Klein got to Manhattan. You know, you can do all you want as a coach and a coaching staff to try to relay your values to the locker room and all that stuff. But when you have maybe an Avery Johnson or a Joe Jackson or a Wesley Fair, Rex Van Wy, I'm sure that can make your job easier, and probably not a coincidence that these are the four guys that come represent Kansas State on Wednesday. So a lot of stuff is coming your way right here on Go Power Cat from those four guys. As we mentioned, though, here, we'll send out to John Grove, who is standing by out at the Star for the latest, maybe not in Kansas State, but just with the overall kind of takeaways from day one of Big 12 Media Days. John?
All right, Gills, appreciate it. We got boots on the ground here in Frisco, Texas at the Star, home to Jerry's midlife crisis known as the Dallas Cowboys. I'm John Grove, giving you a little bit of a recap of what went down, mostly from a Big 12 front. Of course, you got a lot of coaches talking today, and we'll hear from Colin Klein tomorrow, and we'll amp up coverage there, but it sure seems as if even with guys like Joey McGuire or Deion Sanders getting some media availability, even Kalani Sitake or Kenny Dillingham, the star of the show today has been Brett Yormark and perhaps with Texas Tech Media, but we'll get into that when we get into that. But certainly the first takeaway I had was just be expanding on the partnerships, and the Big 12 especially did so today with Monster Energy. Beginning this season, Monster Energy will help sponsor Big 12, and they'll title it as the Big 12 football, Big 12 basketball throughout its regular season games, and they'll also include some conference-controlled assets, including field jerseys, courts as well, and then you also got the but it'll also show on the TVs as well. So they'll get more specific along those lines. I did read from Ben Portnoy of Sports Business Journal that it'll be around $20 million is what the deal is expected to range for several of the schools. So it may be on the lower front than anticipated when it comes to kind of comparing the Big 12 to the Big 10 of the SEC. But, I mean, if you want to compete, you got to get any financial opportunity that's fair, and that's what the Big 12 and Brett Yormark is hoping to strive with this deal. And it's also kind of a one with you know, with Monster Energy and all. It's kind of one of those sponsorships where you look at the Big 12 saying, hey, we want to try and get more with the times. We want to be kind of adaptable to today's generation of the media and stuff like that. So I think Monster Energy certainly is a kind of a great aspect, kind of a unique one that not too many conferences are going to look into as far as sports partnerships is concerned as well. So that's number one. Number two, I mean, it kind of fits in with the ties here, but globalization is another key one that the Big 12 is aiming towards, with two games being played in Dublin, Ireland, and Wembley Stadium in London as well. You got TCU facing North Carolina in week zero, and then you also got Arizona State and Kansas playing in London in week three. You also got Fox Big Noon Kickoff that will be in appearance for that game as well. But Brett Yormark made it clear. It aims to be one of the most globally relevant conferences out there, if not the most globally relevant conference. They also shared its ties with the FIFA World Cup, who's already had some games being played at AT&T Stadium down the road in Arlington. So you want to try and continue expanding your global presence, and that's another aspect in which I respect Brett Yormark for, just continuing to reach for those greater heights as well. And even you can look at several future games as well. Another question came up during that presser where someone asked, was there going to be more of a possibility of seeing more games, not just in Dublin, not just in London, but could we see some other games? I had a thought for a little bit that we could see West Virginia playing in Frankfurt, Germany. I mean, the possibilities are out there as far as opportunities for several of these schools. And even if K-State decides to play in another one, yeah, I mean, it may suck having to travel international more often than not, but you get more money, you get more resources. You gotta take those opportunities when you can get it, for sure. So that was pretty much the second main takeaway there, as well as some playoff talk, playoff expansion. Pretty cut short and simple. The Big 12 wants more access. They want more opportunities down the road. And if they are able to get to that 2014 playoff, if it expands that way, we could see a 10-team schedule. I hinted towards that on the questions before Big 12 media days, that we could see a 10-team conference schedule. And I guarantee you that ESPN and Fox would pay tremendous assets for that extra game towards the end of the season. We saw that already with ESPN and the SEC already booking up the revenue streams to get to a 9-game conference schedule for the Southeastern Conference. Now we're seeing that apply for perhaps possibly the Big 12 when it gets to 24 teams as well. But I would say really the main final takeaway, and again, Texas Tech media, they showed out today, and they were going to go after Brett Yormark. They were going to go after him, and the first question that immediately popped up was about Brendan Sorsby, and Yormark, he declined to discuss the legal dispute. I mean, the questions themselves kind of illustrate just how much the situation just continues to linger over the Big 12. And he said today was not necessarily the time to address the issues. He wanted to celebrate the 16 teams. But then later on, he got to a little bit of a conflict with another Texas Tech reporter. And it was a lot of conflicting interests there. But the tech reporter brought up, it was, you know, the flying tortillas, how the Big 12 banned that, but kept the Oklahoma State paddles, the ones that make all the noise at Boone Pickens Stadium. I can attest to that. They were very loud. This all ties in with Brendan Sorsby and how the Texas Tech fans are kind of riled up. And instead of responding kind of in a longer form, probably what a lot more people expect, like how are you expecting for Texas Tech fans to kind of support this? How are you able to back this up? How are you able to be stronger than 12? Well, Brett Yormark clarified to him that it was not stronger than 12. We're gonna move forward as 16 strong. And that was pretty much the only answer that was there. So yeah, it was very awkward. And you know, It was awkward on many levels. It was a poorly phrased question, by the way, by a reporter. Horrible, horrible, horrible. But I did get the memo that Brett Yormark was hot. But it was obviously a try. It was obviously a guy. It was a guy that was trying to get him, trying to spew out and trying to kind of falsely accuse him in a way. That's how my vantage point was. I'm sure you guys can attest in your ways as well. And we'd love to hear it for you on Go PowerCat, whether it's just on the comments or the message boards. We'd love to hear it as well. So, yeah, you know, I personally wish Yormark would have teed off some facts or maybe addressed this a little better, but you know, so it goes. It's going to be an ongoing situation, and I don't think the Big 12 has dropped its lawsuit yet, so we're still going to hear a lot from this situation moving forward, and we're going to hear a lot from the Big 12 coaches as well. We've heard several of them today. Again, Joey McGuire just went up, as well as Deion Sanders are about to have their coaches' roundtable, and Colin Klein is going to have the opportunity of doing so tomorrow for the first time ever as a head coach of your K-State Wildcats. We'll keep it all the content ramping up here on Go PowerCat. We'll have exclusive interviews with Colin Klein and Avery Johnson, plus a little bit of some breakout videos as well to get your K-State content going here in Frisco, Texas on Wednesday. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Go Cats. We'll send it back to Ryan Gilbert.
All right, John, good stuff. We appreciate the update, and I am glad that day two is probably going to have less Texas Tech news hogging the news cycle out at the Star. But Big B, I mean, last year Taylor Portier was representing Kansas State, an offensive lineman, right? I mean, what the hell are we doing out here, Colin Klein? No offensive lineman? Big B can't be happy about this.
Unbelievable. Just no respect, man. Just no respect.
Well, we were talking on Tuesday, right? And this is true for, I think, any team when you talk to Big B about football. But the teams will go as far as the offensive lines will always take them.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's been the same thing since the beginning of football. Again, it's not 100%, but I would say 8 out of 10 times, if you have a good offensive line, you have a good football team. You know, even if your defense stinks, your offensive line is able to control enough of the football game that you're going to have a good football team. Now, again, not 100% of the time. I'm sure you can find cases where a team was pretty good and their offensive line wasn't very good. Okay, great. But 8 out of 10 times, you got a good O-line, because what a good O-line does, it allows you to not have to have the best quarterback. You don't have to have the best running backs. You don't have to have the best wide receivers, because your offensive line is doing so much work in run blocking and pass blocking that you can just have average to good players, and they're able to look better than maybe what they actually are. So it always comes down to the offensive line. I know people get tired of me saying that, but it's just the truth. That's football, man. It's just football.
Yeah, we've had some availability with coaches and players throughout the spring, but I think this is now going to be kind of our time, Big B, to kind of dissect what's been going on throughout the offseason with this program and hear from, obviously, not just Colin Klein, but four players for Kansas State.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel it's a time. I mean, it's kind of the guys are still getting in shape, but it's kind of the calm before the storm, you know. Everybody's still working out, still getting ready, still lifting, still running, but it's kind of the calm before the storm, because in another couple of weeks is going to be full bore, you know, pedal to the metal. And I'm ready for it. I am ready for football. This, the dead period drives me insane, Gills. I can't stand it. Yeah. I cannot stand it.
It needs to be like the NFL, where there's something for like 99% of the calendar.
Correct.
Draft, correct. Mini camp, there's always something. But we'll take what we can get here out in Frisco at Big 12 Media Days. Big B, appreciate you hopping on. And also thanks to John for joining us out at the Star. But we'll talk to you guys all very soon right here on this YouTube channel. Stay tuned with us on Go Power Cat as Kansas State's Colin Klein, Joe Jackson, Avery Johnson, Rex Van Wy, and Leslie Fair will be representing the Cats on Wednesday, Big 12 Media Days.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.